We're speaking now with Brian Domke, and he is the Republican candidate for District 1, Bonner County Commission. Brian, I want to say thank you for taking time to talk with us.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate the opportunity.
Well, let's start out with an introduction for voters. Tell us a bit about your background, how long you've lived here, how you wound up here, and the experience and qualifications that you have that think you qualify for this office.
All right. Well, thank you. So I moved my family here from upstate New York, rural farm country, about 10 years ago, and we were pursuing more freedom. Grew up working as a farmhand on dairy farms and horse ranches, have always been connected with the land, love the beauty of the area, and we also loved, really the values that we see as being represented. And so as a Christian, conservative, constitution-loving individual, we just found home when we came and visited this region, and in particular, Sandpoint in Bonner County. So because of that, we chose to move our family here and, take up roots from the Northeast and relocate and adopt Bonner County as our new home. And in the 10 years that we've lived here, we just continue to deepen that relationship and the value that we find with the community and how much we enjoy being a part of it. And so that's part of why as well, really giving back and being a contributor to the community has always been important to our family and to myself. So I've been volunteering throughout the time that we've lived here, first with search and rescue for the county to help keep our fellow residents and neighbors safe. Second, to join in as a volunteer on the county's Natural Resource Committee. For those who don't know, that's an advisory committee to the Board of County Commissioners. And that was formed a number of commissions ago because since our county has more than 40% federal lands within it, the policies that the federal agencies develop for those lands allows through our United States laws for our county to have a seat at the table and to help define what those policies will be, so long as the county has a natural resource policy in place. And the county did not have one previously, so they formed this committee. The committee worked for a number of years and then offered a draft policy to the Board of County Commissioners at that time, who then adopted that policy. And now there's an ongoing board that continues to help with those different issues in the county. But I had the pleasure of being one member of that group to help establish that initial natural resource policy. And then after that, I had the opportunity to chair the sub-area committee for planning and zoning for the Priest River Old Town area. And that was another opportunity to spend time with fellow community members assessing and evaluating what the conditions are of the land, the carrying capacity, the needs, and trying to look to the future about how growth might happen in a responsible manner. And then we came up with recommendations to bring forward to the Planning Commission and the Board of County Commissioners for that area.
To be adopted into the comprehensive plan that's being reworked.
Yeah, that is the intent. And so that has all been based on also a background. So my professional background is I'm a licensed landscape architect. And since moving here, have established my business. And I'm now a small business owner in Bonner County. One of the things I love to do is actually what our family does, which is essentially my pastime, and that is to have a homestead. And so we have a three-generation small farm/homestead. We love to, raise as much of our food as we can so that we have something that's sustainable and sourced in a way that we know is healthy. We think it's a great way to build a more resilient community. So as one of the things I do as a landscape architect is I actually help people develop a plan for how to responsibly use their property to develop a farm or a homestead. So that's really my roots, my background in growing up. It's what I do in my professional life. Before coming here, I worked as a project manager and then worked my way up into a vice president and board member role within some architecture and engineering firms back in the Northeast. A lot of the projects we did back then were public schools and state college and university projects. So I spent a lot of time overseeing projects that were publicly funded by tax dollars, working with the public as stakeholders to help them have a voice so that they could share in the decision-making process to develop their school or their state college and things of that nature.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, here's the question I ask just about all the candidates. Why are you running?
Well, I think it's a great question. I'm running because I've been observing by going to the board meetings over the past year that I don't believe they're functioning well. I think that the voice of the public has been lost in a lot of ways. Respect between the public and the board, the other way around, and then between the commissioners themselves seems also to have been lost a lot of the time. And I think that leads to just an unhealthy environment that we should improve. And so I really would like to be a part, help to facilitate improving that and bringing professionalism back to the board and hopefully building trust back between the board and the community. I think that's how we can be the most effective. And I think it all starts by modeling the behavior that we think would be appropriate. So I would love to, even for those who disagree on issues, because we can and should disagree at times and we should challenge one another to come up with better decisions, but we should do it in a respectful way. So my goal would be to bring that level of professionalism and decorum back to the board, build that respect, not only with the board, but between the board and all the elected officials in the county, so we can try to work the most effectively for the constituents, because that's who we serve. Mm-hmm. So my intent would be to use my background of professional experience. As I mentioned, those architecture and engineering firms that I worked for, not only were they public projects most of the time, but also because of that, we had to deal with a lot of federal, state, and local agencies. And so the ability to manage diverse teams of people while simultaneously working with the public and working with different jurisdictional agencies, that sort of three-legged stool to understand, in order to do something successfully in the public sector, you need to be able to work with all three. That background of experience is something that I believe would allow me to really come at the commissioner position in a way that would be thoughtful and also be able to provide professional guidance toward how we make well thought out decisions.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. That's actually a question I was going to ask about a little bit later on about, you know, overcoming the conflict we're seeing at some of the commissioner meetings. So I think you addressed that pretty well. You did mention that you have your own business, Strategic Landscape Design, I believe it's called.
Yes. Yeah.
If you're elected, how much time will you be able to devote to your office on a weekly basis?
Oh, well, being a county commissioner, my perspective is a full-time job. And so I would set my personal business to the side and probably do that very, very little. So that would just not be something that I'd be able to focus on, because it would be about being a public servant. And so quite frankly, the reality is it was a difficult decision to come to decide to run for this seat, because I love what I do. I love, you know, my personal business. I love working with people to help them develop that vision for the future for their family. However, I've also found that, you know, this is my home, and so it's more important that I, in my opinion, help to fortify the foundation of our community and make sure that that's a top priority. I can always, you know, work on the business full-time again in the future, but right now I think it's more important that we stabilize our county community, and if we have a strong foundation for ourselves and our future generations, then the business will be something that I can run with again when I'm no longer in office. Mm-hmm. So,
okay, thank you for that. Well, Brian Domke, candidate for District 1 Commission, what do you consider the biggest issues in your race that you think or you would like voters to be considering?
You know, the thing that I believe is most important at the moment is really our land use and how it affects growth. That's the thing that people contact me about. I have many conversations with members of our community on a regular basis. You know, there's a broad variety of issues underneath that heading. To touch on a few of them, we mentioned the idea that the county's comprehensive plan is currently being amended. And while I know that there's been a lot of effort that's gone into that for a number of months and even years now, and I appreciate that effort, I still think we can and should do a better job with that process. I would like to see more engagement with the volunteers that were on the sub-area committees to extract better information in the decision-making process. I'd like to see a more thorough approach to considering the land's carrying capacity, how much density can a given area actually handle. We've heard it described through these forums by some of the other candidates and current seated commissioners that one of the things that's being done is they're looking at where historically 5-acre lots have been developed. And I think it's good to have that data point, but I don't believe that's an acceptable reason to allow future development of that type of density in those areas. We actually have a history in our county of the 10 years I've lived here of having spot zoning where new rural residential areas and 5-acre lots come up in the middle of agricultural areas with active agriculture. And I think that that creates a conflict of interests. It makes agriculture difficult, and it makes the folks who are moving into a new small community, a new housing area, something that they can see as being detrimental to the lifestyle they want to live. And so this conflict is not a good one, and something that I believe that we can be more thoughtful about avoiding in the future. So I would like to avoid having what I consider to be poor prior decisions being used as the reason to make poor future decisions. So I think we should be more thoughtful about that entire process. Another thing that's been happening that I find is concerning that we should address are things such as conditional use permits. So our county's code with our land use regulations allows for items that fall out of the normal guidance of how you use a particular zone parcel. And you can request a conditional use permit in order to have a different or a special use. And what I see happening very often is that uses that are ultimately commercial in nature are actually being allowed in residential neighborhoods underneath these conditional use permits. To me, that's a loophole that we should close and correct. We have commercial designated areas within our zoning for a reason, because I don't believe it's compatible with residential use. And to allow a type of commercial use within a residential area because it's a conditional use permit, I think is really thwarting the intent of maintaining the character of those communities. And so we have the ability to go in there and make changes to that code in order to clarify the language and prevent that type of harm from happening to neighbors. And so I think we have a responsibility to correct that problem.
So I think we have an interesting test case that really just came up with the bike park in Sagal. Now, as I understand it, it was within the comprehensive plan and within the zone, it was a compliant use for that. And a conditional use permit was approved by the hearing examiner. But, you know, it raised the question of the private property rights. So we have a property owner that wants to do something with this property. And it's within the, apparently within the zone requirements, but the neighbors were opposed to it because they didn't want to see their rural lifestyle, which they enjoy right now with very little traffic, I assume, affected as it might be with this bike park. How would you have fallen out on that particular issue?
Yeah, I think it's a great example. It's very current and it's very relevant. So this is a perfect example of the conditional use permit issue as I see it. The way the conditional use permit language is written in the code, it indicates essentially, and this is not verbatim, but I'm going to paraphrase, it indicates that we need to consider whether or not harm or hazards would be created, and it needs to be based on what the comprehensive plan states. Well, our comprehensive plan currently is largely silent on these types of issues, which I consider problematic, which is one of the reasons why we need to bolster or improve our comprehensive plan. And so because that language is lacking, we can say that it does comply with the comprehensive plan currently, but I see that as problematic. Now, we need to follow the law. We need to follow the rules as they are today. But I would also say that there are other instances where if we look at the type of use and it falls into either an existing zoned category of commercial or recreational, then to use a conditional use permit instead of going through a zone change, which is a different process and one that I would consider more rigorous, I do think is inappropriate. And so it's my opinion that the decision that this is in compliance is, I differ on that. I think, in fact, it should have been looked at and said that what you're really requesting is a zone change, and therefore you should follow that process and see whether or not approval would be granted under that process. So I don't agree with the current decision. And I do think that it's creating harm to neighbors. And so my overarching perspective on private property rights and land development is essentially we should encourage and allow for people's constitutional right to utilize their property in the best way that they see fit, with the understanding or caveat that we should not be allowed to cause harm to our neighbors. Therefore, we have to define what harm is, and then we have to define how to remedy harm if it occurs. And so I believe what we should be doing with our comprehensive plan is going in and defining when is harm caused, and then how do we remedy that, and then having our land use regulations follow that idea, that intent, in order to deal with the practical aspect of how we deal with that enforcement. Mm-hmm. So right now, I think we have a problem because I don't believe we're addressing it properly.
I'd say this is a good heads up that people should get engaged in the comprehensive plan process and take a look at how it might affect the property that you own, especially if you're a rural landowner.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The more aware and informed citizens are, the better everyone can be as far as contributing. And so, I think it's important that people gain this awareness. We have a lot of these issues. There was something similar with a wedding venue in Kokalala that citizens have been concerned about. And even though this is not a direct county land use issue where the county commissioners or anyone else in the county has direct authority, we now also have the 95 corridor reroute considerations that the ITD is looking at. And that's something as a community we should be rallying around and saying, let's contribute, let's have a voice to help the ITD make a really well-informed decision. What I love to tell people is, we all are emotional about these issues because it affects us personally, and we should be. But our emotions should not be how we approach the issue. Our emotions should drive us to action, and then we should seek facts and present facts and data so that well-informed decisions can be made based on that. And so I would encourage everyone who is frustrated, concerned, or even if you like the proposals that are being put forward, let those emotions drive you to action, to go do research, to understand the facts, and then present those facts as a member of the public to help whatever jurisdiction is overseeing a project make a well-informed decision.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that you worked on the sub-area plan for Priest River, but you also mentioned that you'd like to see the process for drawing up the new comprehensive plan address a few things. Do you feel like the sub-area plans are being considered in this rewrite of the comprehensive plan?
I at some level, I believe the depth of consideration is not where I'd like to see it. One of the things is not all the committees had the same amount of time to prepare their proposals or their recommendations. The board at the time cut the work short. The different sub-areas were started in a staggered process, period of time, and so each one had a different period of time in which to try to prepare their work. The other thing is, as I'm sure everyone can imagine, if you write something down, you try to be succinct, you try to be, very brief and thoughtful with it, but the reality is there's a backstory, there's a background of data that drove you to those recommendations, and that is being missed by not having those committees actually interacting with and being part of a dialogue with the current Planning Commission in this process. And I've requested many times that the Planning Commission invite the members of those sub-area committees to come to the table in an advisory role and help participate in the process. And unfortunately, that hasn't happened. So I think that would be a way to make the whole process richer and better, more beneficial. And so that's something I'd love to see, a little bit more direct involvement in that way.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That's a pretty good talk about land use there. Are there other issues that you want voters to be thinking about with this particular race?
Yeah, I know we touched on it at the beginning when it comes to the Board of County Commissioners and the current dynamic, but it's very important to me that the public, one, want to participate in the business of the county because it's their tax dollars, but two, that the Board of Commissioners is inviting that conversation. And so I would very much like to see the Board of County Commissioners inviting public comment on each agenda item so that they can try to make better informed decisions. And also that we really look at and respect one another as being equals on a board that has a mission and a job to do to represent our constituents. And so what I'd love to do is see the personalities be put aside and have everybody focus on the issues, the topics being presented, and let thorough debate win or lose a topic that's being presented on and not the personality who's attempting to present it. So to that end, I would second the motion of each of the other two commissioners just for the purpose of discussion and debate, so that we could hear whether or not the idea has a merit and should move forward and be voted on to be approved. The idea right now that some items never make it to the agenda because there's a personality conflict, to me, is doing a disservice to the constituents of our community that have elected all three of these representatives, and that becomes their conduit to have a voice to bring issues forward as community members. But sometimes those ideas are never even heard, simply because if the other two commissioners decide that they don't want it on the agenda, then it gets removed. I don't believe that's a good way to do business, so I'd like to see that changed.
So, just to clarify, even if item that you'd rather not take up came up from one of the other commissioners, you'd say, well, let's talk about it.
Absolutely. Again, it's even if I don't like the idea, and how do I even know how much I agree or disagree with an idea? It's a few words, right? It's a brief sentence as a proposed agenda item. We haven't had a chance yet to have somebody present it and deliberate over it. So yes, I would second the motion so that it could be discussed, and then we can let the merit of that idea either win or lose the debate. But I don't want the misunderstanding of the intent of the topic or the person presenting it to be what prevents it from being heard.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, we only have a few minutes left, but there is a question I've been asking all the candidates, and that's issues having to do with the fairgrounds, which have created a good deal of conflict on the commission. It's also between the commission and the sheriff. The sheriff published a report last year indicating that up to a couple hundred thousand or more of fairground funds were allegedly misappropriated over a four-year period. And the county fair board issued a release last fall saying the commissioners and the county clerk were responsible for that. Commissioners have since voted to hire an outside audit. Prior to that, there was a proposed RV park at the fairgrounds, which stoked some conflict between the sheriff and the fair board, because the sheriff wants to retain, keep some property available for a justice center. Where do you stand on all the fairgrounds stuff?
Well, I do think it's always important that we try to be as responsible as possible with tax dollars. So I agree that a full audit is something that's warranted. We need to gain as much knowledge as we can to understand what's been happening in the past, and then use that to help course correct for the future. When it comes to the land itself between those two areas that has been disputed, I'm a firm believer that we need to have a well thought out plan, and before we commit to action, our dollars, our resources, be it land or, you know, or the tax dollars. So it's my opinion that the RV park that was presented was not a solid business plan. I did not see where that answered all the important questions the public was bringing up about whether that was actually a viable plan. And the idea of with a justice center expansion, there seems to be future need that we need to acknowledge, but I would like to see a well thought out plan presented where we understand the actual cost and we understand the amount of land use it would take. And so right now I'm firmly in the camp of I would not approve either until we could provide a clear plan that's part of a bigger long-range plan for the county, because, you know, we will have, you know, a justice center need in the future, but of what size and of what functions we need to define. We will have other needs for the county for facilities in the future as well. So what I'd like to do is see us come up with a county long-range plan that considers all of these types of infrastructure improvements. And then we can prioritize and weight them and then decide how best the land could be used. Mm-hmm. So I'm not against the idea of the Justice Center, but I would like to see us come up with a more well thought out plan and know how that dovetails into the larger long-term plan for the county.
Mm-hmm. Okay. One more question here. So politics have certainly gotten more polarizing. Do you see ways to find common ground among your constituents? And second part of this question would be, you're going to have constituents that have different ideas and viewpoints than you do. How would you go about representing them as well?
Yeah, I appreciate that. So a couple of things. Absolutely, there can and will be differences of opinions with constituents, with anyone, quite frankly. We're never going to agree on
any issue.
Exactly. To me, it's mostly about trying to gain understanding. So part of gaining understanding, in my experience, is asking good questions. So perhaps on an issue, we're not seeing eye to eye simply because we haven't communicated well to one another. So let's start by asking questions. Let's be active listeners and try to gain understanding. If through gaining understanding, we agree that we are disagreeing, Let's still be respectful about the fact that we don't see eye to eye on the issue. And then let's figure out if there are other areas where we do see eye to eye on, and we can build and grow in the relationship that way. At the end of the day, if I'm representing constituents and we don't agree on a topic, it doesn't mean that I can't still bring their idea forward for debate by the board. I could even present an idea on the agenda and say, while I am not initially agreeing with this idea, constituents have asked me to bring it forward. Therefore, I will, as their public servant, as their representative, and then I'll see if the process of the debate perhaps changes my mind, because I want to be open to always learning and considering new ideas. And so with interaction with the public and with the other board members throughout the discussion and debate of that topic, you know, perhaps somebody will bring forward information I haven't considered before, and then I might change my mind on that topic. But I should still be willing to bring forward ideas just for the purpose of allowing them to be heard and debated, even if I'm not fully in agreement with them.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you for that. Brian Domke, a candidate for Bonner County Commission, District 1, Republican. How can people learn more about you and your campaign?
Well, thanks for asking, Chris. The two great ways are, one, you can go to my website. The campaign website is Domke, D-O-M-K-E, the number 4, BonnerCounty.com. And on there, you'll find contact information, so you can email me, call me, text me. Happy to answer questions that are related to the Office of County Commissioner, the seat I'm seeking. So I would welcome those correspondence with folks. And then, as always, I'll be out doing meet and greets and door knocking. So I welcome those interactions with the public.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. The primary election is May 21st.
May 21st.
You're on the home stretch.
Yeah, and I imagine you've done this public service announcement, but I think it's critical that everyone in the county knows that no matter which district you live in, you get to vote for all of the available county seats.
Yep. So everybody gets to vote on the District 1 race.
Yep. Great.
Again, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.